Good morning, everyone. We do not know the cost of the oil in the alabaster box. I'm going to talk about this morning. Let me go to God in prayer for just a moment. Father, please send your spirit that I may hear clearly and can speak clearly today to touch hearts, that seeds may be planted in people, that they may have a new awakening about who you are and who we are as Christians. Father, just let your grace fall on this congregation today as we come before you humbly, broken, and yet needing your love, just as the woman was in this song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is, I have a confession to make to you. You don't know how many times, Mary says you don't know what the cost of the oil is, but you don't know how many times that I get a call from someone needing prayer, or I get called to go out to the nursing home, or whatever the issue is, and I think to myself, who am I to be praying for anyone? It amazes me to this day that I'm a pastor. I'm sure it amazes some of my friends and family. But the reason I guess I keep doing this is because I've completely allowed myself vulnerability and just the reality that I am nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I have no special connection to God than any of you here. I have no special knowledge of God more so than any of you here. And it sometimes makes me feel really weird to think that people would call on me to do anything. Recently, I told you the last time I was here, I got involved out of Beverly Farm because they're going through some difficulties there. And one of the things I've learned since I've really given my life to Jesus is that the best way to handle anything that you believe God wants you to do is to realize that you don't have any particular powers or knowledge to do it. It's up to God to show up and show me what to do. And my way I handle when I'm out at Beverly Farm, and I went in there and talked to the directors, and they was asking me about the programs I want to do out there. I'm giving seminars to the management team and to the employees. It's a big project. And one of the questions was what is your qualifications to do this? And I said right off the bat, absolutely nothing, except I love people. I care for people. And so I care for the caregivers here. I care for the management team here. I care for everybody involved at Beverly Farm. And that's my only qualification, is I truly love people and want to help and make a difference. I don't have any particular degrees or knowledge or anything different than anybody else. But what I've come to realize is that we have to allow the strength and the love of Jesus to come into us and to work through us. And that's the only way that we can become effective Christians. I think there's this, I think I'm accurate in what I say, is that many of us, it goes back to my title, Please Don't Sit Me Right Next to Jesus. I like that title because it's so true. I think we want to, as people coming to church and as people we call Christians, we want to say, you know, I want to be part of this, but please don't let me get too close to Jesus, because I have a lifestyle that I know is not worthy. I like to go out drinking with my friends. I like to go to the casino. I like whatever the deal is. I have things in my life that I don't really want to change. And I'm afraid that if I go into Jesus' inner circle, if I'm made to sit down right next to him, that he might ask me to do something or change something that I don't want to do or change. And I just looked at my own life and I said, that's what held me back so long from the call on my life to be a pastor. That was it. That's the real reason. I thought, if I become a pastor, I have to become someone else. And then as I began reading the New Testament, I realized just how wrong that was. Because every story in the New Testament, except for one, and I'll explain that, Jesus never asked anyone before he healed them, before he had any interaction, have you been going to church? Have you been hanging out in a bar? Have you been doing things you shouldn't be doing? Have you done this? Have you tithed? Have you memorized the Quran? Whatever it is. He didn't ask them anything. All except for this question. What is it you want from me? And some of them said, well, I'm blind and I want to see. Some of them said, I'm crippled and I'd like to walk. Some of them just needed love. Jesus never put parameters on his love towards broken people. Ever. And it's a huge lesson for the church today. So we have this fear, I believe, I know I did, of getting close to Jesus and being in his inner circle. I love to go to the meetings and I love to be able to keep Jesus in sight. I see him over there, but I don't want to get that close. I figure I'm okay if I'm in the room and I can see him, but please don't make me sit next to him. Because Lord knows what he might ask me to do and what he might ask me to change. And what I found out in my life is it's when I go and I know Jesus is tapping me on the shoulder and says, get involved in this, do this, go to the nursing homes, do this. I'm going to tell you, there's many times I don't want to do it for many of the same reasons. Who am I to go out there and say anything to these folks at Meridian Village or Stillwater? Who am I? But I trust that by allowing Jesus to guide me and staying close to him, that he will pour his love out into me so I can allow it to come out of me. And that's the only way Christianity becomes real. That's the only way. So in today's story, powerful story, and you just heard about it, I want to talk a little about this text because it is one of the... I got to get my glasses. One of the most powerful texts that I've lost my glasses. Thank you. I have no idea what I did with them. You need 100 pair of reading glasses and just throw them everywhere. Around your neck, in your pockets. That's a mystery. I'll have Bonnie find them later. So Jesus has been going through the towns. He's been healing people and teaching people. And in this story, he has a Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, ask him to come to dinner. He wants Jesus to show up. And I guess this Pharisee wants to have a conversation. He wants to find out what's with this guy. What's really going on? So here is the story. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. You can put the scripture up if you want, Lane. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, not out loud. He was thinking to himself, saying, this man, Jesus, if he were truly a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, because Jesus can read people's hearts, their minds. He knows what the Pharisee is thinking. So Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So Simon said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. And then Jesus, he turned his back to Simon and faced the woman. And he said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss. She's not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. And you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. But she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who can even forgive their sins? There's several important parts to this story I want to point out. Thanks, Wally. Number one, and this is important for all of us to realize, God's love is the same for that Pharisee as it was for the woman in sin. Probably a prostitute, they don't know for sure. God's love, he loved them both the same. Jesus loved them both the same. The big difference is the woman entered into Jesus' grace. The Pharisee thought he was already good enough to remain in the circle with Jesus. The woman knew she was not worthy, knew she had nothing to offer, knew that she was a sinner. And she was weeping about it, saying, this man had come to me at a previous time and forgave me of everything I've done. And therefore, it was worship without words. Her pouring out her heart, her wiping his feet with her tears, anointing his feet with oil. No words were spoken, and yet Jesus knew she was pouring out her entire life to him because it was the first time that any man had given her love like she really wanted to be loved. Not bought love, but love that came from heart, that came from God. It's a powerful story. It's a powerful story for every one of us. Let me tell you something that I've been teaching the people up at Beverly Farm. It's how to get along with people, basically. And I said, there's this short formula. It's the way life works. And it goes like this. Our experiences that we have in our life create beliefs. And our beliefs determine our behaviors. And our behaviors produce results. And that's the way it works. If you don't like the results in your life, you've got to go back through that formula and figure out what your behaviors are. Well, what's causing the beliefs you have? That woman in this story had beliefs that the only way she could be worthy is to sell herself. It was the only way she'd ever be able to find love and to make it in this world. But Jesus gave her a new experience. His experience was, come to me. You are loved by God. You are forgiven by God. You are worthy. You are worthy to do so much more than what you've been doing. Your life can change. And he gave her a new experience, something she'd never had before. And that experience began to change her beliefs. And her beliefs changed her actions and her behaviors. And that's why she showed up at the Pharisees' dinner that night. You have to put yourself in her shoes. She was a scorned woman wherever she went. The women hated her. Because they knew the men were paying for her. The men hated her because of who she was. A scorned woman, and yet she had the courage to show up at this banquet in all her brokenness and fall at Jesus' feet and weep and love him and know that she had been forgiven. And it changed everything in her life. It changed everything. Stories like this in the Bible are important for each and every one of us. Because what this story says to me is that some of us are like the woman, different sins. Some of us are like the Pharisee, different sins. But sin is sin is sin. The difference was the woman finally realized that she could not be worthy without Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. And man, once we have that and we know that in our heart, we can change the way we react and change the way we walk in this world and the way we interact with one another. I know I'm not worthy to be a pastor. I know I'm not worthy to pray for people, except that I'm saved by grace and I allow God's love to shine through the best way I know how. And every one of you in here are capable of that. There's many of you in here that your experiences with church, with organized religion, makes you keep a distance. I don't want to get that involved. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay. The message to this story is you are okay with who you are, but come to me, receive my grace, receive my forgiveness, receive my true love, and then allow me into your life and watch how life begins to look differently as you walk through it. Maybe you're broken in relationship. Maybe you're broken in your finances. Maybe you're broken in whatever way. You're just not happy in life. You're dealing with issues. You're dealing with problems. This woman had the weight of the world on her. Did not know where to turn. Did not know where to go. Did not know who really loved her until she met Jesus and allowed his love to cleanse her. That's what it was. He cleansed her with his love. So remember this song. Remember this story. It's a story about you and I. It's a story about people that need God's grace, God's love. We will now be coming to the table of grace. And here at this church, these two churches, we practice open communion, which means you don't have to be a member here. We don't care if you're Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever it is. You're welcome to the table of grace. We do this out of love. We do this as a participation of what Jesus taught us on the night he was betrayed. We come before him just like this woman in all our brokenness and all our sin. It's okay. God knows we are all sinners. We're all broken. But with him, we are made new and we're given a new life. And that new life continues on into eternal life. And that is truly something to worship about and to sing about and to give praise to. Jackie?